God knows how many people he's had killed or maybe even strangled to death with his own hands. But Chechen dictator Ramzan Kadyrov might be joining his victims soon in the afterlife. According to a new investigation by Nova Gazeta Europe, Kadyrov was diagnosed with pancreatic necrosis in 2019 and isn't long for this world. Since then, he's supposedly undergone regular procedures, including surgeries at an elite hospital in Moscow. A bout of COVID-19 in 2020 reportedly further degraded his health, kicking off another round of sudden weight loss. His kidneys reportedly started to fail, and fluid built up in his lungs, making it difficult for him to speak and walk. After Novaya released the first part of this investigation, Kadyrov's Telegram channel shared its first video in 5 days, posting footage of Kadyrov meeting with his cabinet to discuss the war in Ukraine. Kadyrov's speech is slurred, and he barely moves. He doesn't look good. He looks like the title character in Weekend at Bernie's. Nova Gazeta has released 2 more installments of this story since this first report, and a 4th article is due out soon. So let's dig into these revelations and learn more about the predicament of Russia's second worst autocrat. Welcome to the Naked Pravda. Howdy, folks. I'm your host, Kevin Rothrock, the managing editor of Medusa in English. Welcome back to the podcast. This week, my guest is journalist Kirill Martinov, the editor-in-chief of Novaya Gazeta Europe, which is now releasing a series of articles titled Heir to the Padishah about an apparently looming succession crisis in Chechnya. The second installment in this investigation focuses on Ramzan Kadyrov's own family, specifically his admittedly immature sons, whom he's tried to protect from future rivals in ways that sometimes seem counterintuitive. For example, Nova Gazeta argues that the suddenly rising public profile of Kadyrov's sons is meant to protect them, not to prepare Chechens for accepting them as his successors. The most notorious case here is Kadyrov's now 16-year-old son, Adam, who was awarded the title of Hero of Chechnya and appointed to a senior role in his father's bodyguard after his dad shared a video online showing Adam beating up a prisoner accused of burning a Muslim text. Novaya Gazeta also argues that the two most visible Chechen politicians, besides Ramzan Kadyrov, I'm talking about Magomed Daoudov and Adam Delimkhanov, they aren't viable successors, says Novaya Gazeta. The newspaper says Daoudov lacks support outside Chechnya, and it reasons that Delimkhanov's ties to organized crime are too great a liability even for Moscow. The third installment of Novaya Gazeta's investigation retells the rise and fall, and then rise again, of Apti Alaudinov, who now serves as the commander of the Akhmat Chechen Volunteer Special Forces Association. Novaya argues that Alaudinov is currently Kadyrov's likeliest successor. However, the two men were effectively on opposite sides in the First Chechen War, with Alaudinov loyal to Russian federal troops. But he managed to ingratiate himself to Kadyrov later on by killing one of Kadyrov's top rivals in 2006. Things went sour again in 2019, however, when Kadyrov exiled Alaudinov and several others following the ouster and then murder of an influential mayor in Chechnya. But the invasion of Ukraine in February 2022 catapulted Alaudinov back into Kadyrov's good graces, and Alaudinov now commands the Republic's biggest armed fighting force. Nova Gazeta's third installment in its Kadyrov investigation explains that the special forces that Alaudinov leads are no ordinary fighting group. It turns out that Ramzan Kadyrov's special arrangement with Moscow has allowed him to keep the vast majority of his soldiers in Chechnya, or out of harm's way, far from the front lines in Ukraine, ensuring that he and his successor can wield a large standing army. Chechnya's privileges include the ability to rotate soldiers in and out of Ukraine and use federally allocated money to pay volunteers, which maintains the illusion that Grozny is sacrificing lots for the war effort. Roughly 85% of the volunteers recruited to fight in Chechen units aren't even ethnic Chechens, says Novaya, except for the volunteer units that don't enjoy troop rotation or limited service contracts because they're full of dissidents and troublemakers who have run afoul of the Kadyrov regime. In other words, Ramzan Kadyrov is using the war in Ukraine to dispose of his rivals and undesirables. And so that, in a nutshell, is what Novaya has reported so far at the time of this recording. But enough of me flapping my gums about it. For insights from a journalist at its source, let's get to my interview with Novaya Gazeta Europe editor-in-chief Kirill Martinov. maybe there's no clear right answer for this, but all the same, it seems like a worthwhile question. Why is Ramzan Kadyrov, what's so special about him? Why is he so hard to replace?
We had two terrible wars in Chechnya. The last one ended, let's say, around 20 years ago. And I think that Kadyrov personally is a kind of legacy of this second war in Chechnya, which still hurts local population. And still, there are still a lot of contradictions on this territory. And they had a lot of Chechen people in diaspora, which actually hate what happens inside this Kadyrov rule. And Kadyrov was a winner of the very hard competition between different clans during the end of the Second Chechen War. And he actually provided so-called stability to the region. And the price of this stability was very high. I mean, like the incredible high level of violence and corruption. And at some point, I think Kadyrov started to provide some very special services to Kremlin. His people can do the dirtiest work for Kremlin. And we know that several most well-known, most infamous political assassination, like assassination of Boris Nemtsov and Anna Politkovskaya, for example, is linked to Kadyrov's Chechnya. And at the same time, Kadyrov provided a kind of very high level of fear to Russian society. If you have some problems with Kremlin, that probably means that Kadyrov can send his people to you if you have really serious problem. And I think it was a ground for this. It was one of the pillars of this dictatorship, which raised in Russia during the last 20 years. So he was a kind of fear man for Putin. I mean, like, he can do this very special service, and he was quite successful on his way. And to mention it, I think that some people in military and in FSB in Russia, they really have this fear that there could be third Chechen war. So it's easier to keep Kadyrov and just wait, you know, like not to try to fix what actually is more or less working for Kremlin.
When people talk about Kadyrov going, is it the same as with Putin where they say, well, Kadyrov is bad, but the next guy could be even worse? I mean, that's something we hear a lot about Putin, whether it's someone who likes him or doesn't like him. It doesn't really, you hear that from people with different perspectives on what kind of leader Putin is. But is it the same situation with Kadyrov, where he's a liability in certain ways for Moscow, but generally speaking, he's the best of all the worst options. And so let's just keep him in power as long as possible, because what comes next could be even worse. Or is it just a question of, well, there'll be a period of instability, it'll be hard to find someone, but we'll come out ahead of this. Like, I guess what I'm asking is, like, are there groups in Moscow who want to replace him now, even whether or not he's sick, and we haven't even gotten into that? Or is it, well, it's just, let's keep him around for absolutely as long as possible, because what comes next is going to be bad?
My point is that he was useful. He was not only a problem, but he created a kind of opportunities, political opportunities for Kremlin. But he is not so useful anymore. Because in a sense, what happened with inside Russian Federation during last 2 years. So we have, you know, like on the territory of Russia, we have almost the same level of fear and violence and distrust and illegal actions of authorities like it was before in Chechen Republic. I mean, like, Kadyrov is not unique anymore. Like, this war brings a very high level of violence to Russian society. And that means that Kadyrov actually can't provide his special services anymore, even if he was healthy. So I think it's a good time to, let's say, normalize Chechnya for Kremlin, because Kadyrov is more or less useful and he still creates problems. And at the same time, they have a lot of people with military experience who can serve President Putin and provide some dirty services and provide fear to Russian society. And probably this is, you know, like, if we take a broader look on the situation, like, if what happens on this war right now is still a kind of collapsing of Soviet Union, I think it's also a new era for Chechnya, which means that Chechnya can be more or less normal region in a very strange country, you know, like when Russia was more or less normal autocratic country, Chechnya was a very special place, but right now the situation is changed. The bigger country is also full of this violence, and that means that Chechnya can be ruled by just a normal bureaucratic person, more or less normal. Not that strange, not that violent like Kadyrov was.
And by normal, that this is how you would describe Apti?
Alaudinov, yes. Yeah, like for sure, this is for sure, you know, when we speak about normality, it's Russian way of normality. They, for sure, they support war, they send people to the battlefield, they provide some war crimes, but that is what actually most of Russian governors are doing right now. So nothing special for Chechnya anymore.
But Alaudinov is like, he doesn't necessarily talk about cutting people's heads off when he does speeches. He's like less, is that the idea that he's more normal to Russians nationally because his rhetoric is somewhat less bloodthirsty?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
He's actually quite a special figure in this story because Alaudinov is mostly linked to Russian military and Russian special services. He has no real connection to Kadyrov clan, and he is more or less respected in the region, in Chechnya, because he is a kind of war hero. He had a very interesting personal story when Kadyrov rule was started. He changed sides and he was always with a link to Moscow. And right now he tried to play this role of, you know, he looks like, if you know this name, Yevkurov, who was a former governor of Ingushetia.
Some background here. Yanush Bek Yevkurov has served as one of Russia's deputy defense ministers since July 2019. He took on this role after stepping down as the head of Ingushetia, a republic that neighbors Chechnya. President Dmitry Medvedev appointed him as head of Ingushetia back in October 2008, and he held that job until June 2019, when a controversial land transfer deal with Chechnya sparked protests that pressured Yevkurov out of office.
So he is a deeply respected military person, which is working for Moscow, not for his personal clan on the territory.
And that being a war hero is enough to command the necessary respect and resources in Chechnya? Because one of the things I thought about while reading Nova Gazeta's report is that, okay, this new Alaudinov guy, he has the connections, the necessary connections in Moscow, and this sort of more traditional bureaucratic career history that makes him appealing to the Kremlin. But doesn't the next leader of Chechnya need to be someone with clan resources and the real strong local ties to the local authorities there? I mean, that's what Kadyrov has, obviously. And so why would Alaudinov be strong enough locally to take Kadyrov's place?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that the problem for Kadyrov clan, for example, is that they don't have any clear successors. Sons of Kadyrov are young and not so interesting in politics. And those people who are best known, like, I don't know, right hand of Kadyrov, like Dilimkhanov, for example, he is probably linked to some criminal groups.
Just a bit of background here. Adam Dilimkhanov has represented Chechnya in Russia's State Duma since 2007. He's one of Ramzan Kadyrov's closest allies. He's one of Kadyrov's cousins, in fact. Early in the full-scale invasion of Ukraine, Vladimir Putin awarded a medal to Dilimkhanov, whose other accolades include being suspected of involvement in multiple kidnappings, murders, and tortures. This includes the assassination of one of Ramzan Kadyrov's former bodyguards in Vienna in January 2009, a man named Umar Israilov, who accused Kadyrov, Dilimkhanov, and others in the regime of torturing and executing prisoners.
And can be seriously considered like, you know, a public face of local authorities, even in this dictatorship, even in this Russia of 2024. In general, there is no clear figure which can be the successor of Ramzan in his clan. And that means you need to choose from some other clans anyway. And other clans of Chechnya are much weaker right now after almost 20 years of Kadyrov's rule. And that means that no single clan can survive without direct support of Moscow and Kremlin. So if you don't need Kadyrov anymore, that means that you actually should rely on some external support and external authority.
In the story, Nova Gazeta talks about how these recent reports, this recent scandal, I guess you could call it, with Adam Kadyrov and him beating up a prisoner who was accused of burning a book, which reports typically say is the Quran, but I guess it wasn't actually the Quran. It was like a Quran-adjacent book or something like this. What book was it? Because I also read that the book is actually banned in Russia, which would make it seem like burning it should be okay.
It's some commentary on Quran. Mm-hmm. Which published by some group of people which declared to be extremists in Russia.
Okay, but the guy who burned it was punished for it?
Yeah.
How does that work?
They decided this is a kind of almost Quran, you know.
But it's banned.
It was enough, yeah. It's banned, so you can't read it or can
can't burn it either, apparently.
Yeah, can discuss it, but okay. But at the same time you can be prosecuted because you destroyed this book.
Right. Okay. So one of Kadyrov's sons was in this public scandal because he beat up this guy who burned that book, and it became this big thing because, I mean, he's on camera beating a defenseless prisoner, and then he's decorated later with these various patriotic awards and so on. Nova alleges that this is basically all a PR stunt to both divert attention away from Ramzan Kadyrov's health issues, which, again, we haven't got into yet, but I'll ask you a little bit about later, and also that putting all this attention on Kadyrov's sons, the intention here is to protect them, to kind of keep them in the public eye so that they won't, I guess, I don't know, either be killed or imprisoned or prosecuted or something when Ramzan eventually dies or is too sick to be in power. Can you explain, because while I was reading this, I was thinking, okay, well, this seems like one possibility, but at the same time, maybe if it's not to protect them by keeping them in the public eye, it could be still to promote them for some kind of eventual political promotion. I mean, Ramzan Kadyrov, he spent some time being groomed for the governor's position or the head of Chechnya or whatever, but like, how confident are you in this narrative, the report's narrative, essentially, that the Kadyrovs, all of his sons, that they're not really leadership material, and that everything we see about them in the news is all a PR campaign to protect them or to distract from other things?
We are quite confident in the sense that there is no clear option how Kadyrov's sons can be new leaders of Chechen Republic. Because, again, as I said, they are quite young. Their middle son is actually 16 years old right now, and the elder son is 19 probably, and both of them never considered seriously, you know. They don't have any personal interest in leadership. They prefer to have some nice life and entertainment and so on. And actually, their father tried to keep them as close as possible. I think that this is the main reason, is that they really need to be protected. Because if something happens with Kadyrov himself and his clan is in danger, that means that his sons can be a target for any kind of competitors. And I think that it's quite clear that okay, Kadyrov can provide some positions to his sons, and the middle son is like a head of his personal guard or security services or something like this. But it's mostly, you know, like because he can do this, but they don't have any support or respect in Moscow. If you compare these sons to Alaudinov, for example, we can clearly see that he has a really brilliant career. He is officially a hero of war, a head of Ahmad's division, and he just got some political role in the Ministry of Defense in Moscow, which is very unusual for a person from Kadyrov's Chechnya. So yes, we can expect that Kadyrov's sons in a good situation for them, they can have some political positions in Chechnya, but they probably will not have any support from Moscow to be real successors of Ramzan. Because again, this is just not so necessary for Kremlin anymore. They have another sources of fear, and everyone is actually tired about this Kadyrov style.
Reading the report, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but my impression is that Nove is relying on kind of two sets of evidence to argue that Kadyrov is sort of deathly ill. On the one hand, we have you're sort of sifting through what's publicly visible, and the most obvious thing are these videos of Kadyrov barely able to speak and, like, you know, sitting still, staring off into space. And there was one that was released after the first installment of your report, and it's like, wow, this is what they can serve up to disprove the idea that Kadyrov is sick. It's like, it looks like he's going to fall over dead right in the middle of this video. They're shaking the camera around to try to make it look like he's moving. So there's that, and there's you also are sifting through several pictures and saying, okay, well, he lost a bunch of weight here, and now if you look at him, he has like a distended stomach and all this. And my impression is that this kind of like looking at the photos is not quite as convincing as like the videos of him slurring his speech. But again, like, you're working with what you've got. But then you also have in the story, you're citing various anonymous sources. And the reason they have to speak anonymously is obvious. You have, like, you know, medical experts, and you have insiders and so on, and they're commenting on his illness. And so this is sort of the story you're building, and that's the evidence you're using. You also, you describe these, like I already mentioned, these PR stunts regarding his sons to sort of distract or to draw attention to them to keep them safe and so on. There's an incident where last September, I think it was, Kadyrov, he puts his uncle into a hospital bed and pretends to visit him. This is the allegation, that he's pretending to visit one of his uncles, but in fact, his uncle's fine, and basically just put his uncle in a hospital bed because Kadyrov was at the hospital and they needed to stage a PR event to make it look like he was being active or something like this. So there's all these kind of these various strings that you're attaching. I was wondering if you could summarize for listeners, and I know you can't identify Nova's sources, but can you summarize like the kinds of people that you were able to speak to confirm the kind of like insider information about his illness?
Yeah, we had several groups of sources. First of all, people inside Chechnya, which are preparing to have some fight for, you know, for the legacy of Kadyrov. And they have a lot of information, and they have clear interests to you know, to make Kadyrov weaker. So we need to double check what they are saying. We also have a second group of people which are in Chechen diaspora across the world. They have relatives in the Republic, they have personal sources of information, and they don't have, you know, they don't have any hopes that they can come back to home country and to make this fight for the legacy. So they have different kind of interests, and we can use the evidences to check what we hear from Chechen Republic. At the same time, I think that the most important group of sources are located in Moscow, because Kadyrov is linked to doctors there. And the group of the sources is mostly linked to some, let's say, military officers who are, you know, have deep feelings against Kadyrov for many years. And they always were prepared that something can happen with him. And they need to make like new group of people in power in Chechnya. So again, all these three groups have different interests. No of them are supporting Kadyrov. But we also can, you know, like the other source of information is, it's like, let's say, half open, because it's very important to take a closer look on the local media in Chechen language, which is not so transparent for, I don't know, like people from United States or Russia. But we have some journalists who can read and understand Chechen language. And this is also can be another group of evidences, which, you know, so you have some sources of information from Moscow, from inside the Republic, from outside, from diaspora, and from official and non-official media on Chechen language. And after that, you see this timeline, you know, what happens last year, what is happening right now. Actually, when we published the first part of the story, we got in news that Chechnya just applied for electronic voting on elections this year. And there is no planned elections in Chechnya during this autumn. So they already planned some September elections. Maybe it's just a coincidence or just a mistake, but I think that this is kind of another small evidence that everyone is preparing for something which is coming next.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. This has been The Naked Pravda, a podcast from Medusa in English. Remember that undesirable status back in Russia means our entire news outlet now relies on readers and listeners around the world to support our work. Please visit our website for information about how to become a contributor with one-time or recurring pledges. Thanks again. Until next week.